name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are fast approaching the last day of both the present order of things and the last day of the secular year. And you've surely noticed that over the, say, last 2 months at least, the lections have become darker, right? Maybe a little more ominous and threatening. And so I say all this as a preface. I am not going to preach on cute little lambs and happy donkeys this morning. I want to go over and expand on the thoughts that I seem to have every year at this time, when what we call the holiday season possesses and overtakes us. And what I've heard called seasonal stress, that which I was even speaking about with someone before worship today, and how it weighs on us. And then the end of time. So light stuff today, right? Now we call it seasonal stress. Maybe you felt it, maybe you haven't. I'm betting that you have, and that you probably are right now. It seems to come from the perfect sort of storm and combination of economic and emotional and travel and religious stress even. More people kill themselves during what the world calls the holiday season than any other time during this year. That's a fact. This is what the world's holiday season drives people to. There is little in this life that is truly under our control. And we know this, right? We have to know this. I hope that we know this. And if this is true, why then do we become so angry and afraid? Why do I rage and panic and worry about all of the things that I can't control? We cannot make ourselves behave 100% of the time. We don't always keep our word when we give it, do we? Oh, you're in church now. Tell the truth. And if we can't do that, why would we expect others to do it? I can't be everything that you expect me to be. And you can't be that for me either. Why do we put that on each other then? Why do we do this to one another, to ourselves? For the most part, we do it to ourselves, right? We create our own angst. We create our own sort of worry and stress. We then blame our boss. We blame the traffic or our spouse. Not my spouse. She's perfect. Or what do we end up doing? We blame the pressures of the season. Right? But the stress doesn't really come from without. We create it for ourselves. Because what the problem is it's our reaction that's off. It's how we respond to all of this stuff from without that's off. Our reaction to the world, our reaction to others that's not right, that's darkened by sin. Now we could calm down, we could relax, we could stop dwelling on all the ways that we have perceived that we've been wronged, or the ways that we think we've been overworked and underappreciated and taken advantage of, and on and on. But we're just so wrapped up in it all that it's nearly impossible for us. It's nearly impossible for darkened sinners. And if it's true that you can't calm down, you probably need to get medical help. Right? You may have some sort of serious psychological disorder. It may be true. It may be a thing. It may require professional help. But even then, you're not off the hook. An addict makes choices. So do the mentally ill. Right? Those are not valid excuses. The problem as we approach the end of the year and the end of time is that we're not so much thankful, we're not so much grateful as we are stressed out. I see it every single year. We are tired, we're frustrated, we're angry. If you don't believe me, watch any random clip from the last 20 years of the people at the grocery stores standing in line at Black Friday when they open those doors. And you'll see the madness and what an insatiable lust for things can do to people. We are so curved in on ourselves that we are not content with what God in His mercy has provided to us. But what do we have to do? We've got to take it and we've got to shine it and polish it up, add to it, all to make it look better to others, right? So that they will see it and think better of us, right? When they come into our house that is never otherwise that clean as it is on that particular day, right? Get ready. It's coming this Wednesday, right? All right, we're going to sweep all of the dirt right under the rug. But there's always this sort of temptation that when we try to count our blessings, right, we make a good faith effort at gratitude, then we only see them as disappointments, right, or we see them as shortcomings in ourselves or others, or things not as nice as they could be. We say to ourselves, well, at least I'm employed. But then with the very next thought, we take it back with, well, all of the people that I work with are idiots. Or no one appreciates me, right? Or I have to do everything myself. Or we say, I'm thankful that my belly's full, but you know, the ham just wasn't as good as it was last year. I'm really glad we all get together as a family, but I really wish you wouldn't have brought him to the family gathering. Catherine knows who I'm talking about, right? You're getting picked on today. He doesn't belong with us, right? We say these things. And it's then that our quite miserable attempt at being grateful, at being thankful, turns quickly into self-righteousness and a pity party. And I mean miserable in the true sense of that word, right? Standing in need of mercy. We are miserable sinners, sinners in need. Because we do the same thing with our families, with our churches, and with our country. We don't have to dig too deeply to see the flaws in other people. Now, we might nuance it a bit and say stress sort of feels like frustration and a sense of being overwhelmed. But is it really anything other than despair and anger mixed in with panic and fear? There is little in this life, if anything, that we are in control of. Here's the solution that Jesus orders us to in this age of grace as we approach the last day. And it's simple and it is effective. Repent. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's it. Kneel and humble yourselves before the King of Kings, and admit that you're in need, dire need of mercy. It's not try a little bit harder, do a little bit better, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, because He knows your weak and your frail hearts and minds. And that if you run to anyone or anywhere other than Him, you're finished. You would be lost. At some point, you've just got to come to terms
with all of this that I talk about, it seems like almost every year at this occasion. And admit that you're weak. Admit that you can't fully control anything in this life. But despite all of that, you, beloved of the Lord, are not condemned. You have not been appointed to damnation. You, sons and daughters of the King, have been appointed to salvation. Be humbled, to be truly at peace, to be truly thankful, to be truly grateful, is to be full of grace. Greatness comes not from counting blessings or counting the good things that make us happy in this life. True gratefulness comes from grace, from the undeserved mercy that we have received from Christ Himself. The problem with our stress is that it's somewhat self-righteous, right? We think that we've been singled out. We think that we suffer more than other people do. We work harder than other people do, and so forth. But in fact, we have not. For nothing has befallen you that is not common to all men, St. Paul says. Nothing. Our judgment of our brothers, that they somehow have it easier than we do, is simply evil. And we should acknowledge it as that. We might think that someone is doing less than we are, is less busy, or has had everything given to him. But we actually have no idea what he's going through, right? We have no idea what obstacles and hardships are in his way, what hell on earth he traverses even right now through the holiday season. Well, maybe you're not like me, but I'll say we generally. We don't usually tell each other the things that truly disturb us, right? The things that really haunt us, that we're truly afraid of. We generally don't tell other people those things. When someone asks us, you know, how's it going? What do we say? Fine, right? By default, like it's an automatic response. I'm doing fine. We never share our concerns that we have no real friends, that our husband is cheating on us, that our children hate us, don't want anything to do with us. We don't share that we're suffering from depression, that we're addicted to painkillers and pornography and gambling and internet shopping and on and on and on. We don't share those things. And oddly, there's some comfort in this. I know you're thinking, what? There is, I promise. In the first place, you're not as odd and terrible as you think you are. Your secret shame is all your own, but it's more common than you think. I promise you that. See, you think you're darkest secret sins are more vile, more disgusting than anyone else's. They are not. And though you suffer from it and feel as though you can't escape this thing that afflicts you over and over again, be at ease. Because you're free of all of the other things that afflict your brothers and your sisters. Be at ease because you are a sinner, no better and no worse than anyone else. And by God, be grateful, because the great physician comes to heal only the sick. So let up on each other. Stop expecting so much. Stop expecting perfection from everyone else. You're not going to find it. Stop imposing your expectations on others. They are not you. And you're only setting them up to fail. And let up on yourself, too. Let up on yourself. There is no reason to panic. There is no cause to despair. These days will pass. You are loved by God. The things that you waste hours, days worrying about, they're not going to matter in 100 years. I promise you that. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He loves you. Let your Advent celebrations, let your Christmases be about that. Be about that. The love of God. Let Christmas be about Christ. What a novel idea, right, in modernism. Let your Christmases be about the Christ Mass. Not about who's present. Not about who's absent, who's missing, who's angry or who's wronged you. What got done, what didn't get done. What got cleaned or cooked or what didn't. Who lied or failed or what has to be done tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Let it be about the love of God in our own flesh and blood through the Blessed Virgin. Come to redeem us. Because that is what will endure. That is what will endure for eternity. Not your anger, not your grudges, not all of the failings that you and your family have experienced. Not all of the seasonal end of year stress. When we no longer care about the things that now threaten to consume us, when the United States, when the Lutheran Church, and even our family names are long forgotten, the love of God in Christ Jesus, born in the Virgin Mary, will still endure. And it'll be the only thing that we care about. So I just wanted to say some of those things, because I know how stressful this season is, right? The holiday season, if we can call it that, can be honest. And I just wanted to remind you that when your celebrations, when they don't look exactly like how you envision them to be, right? We're all thinking of what Wednesday will be like, what Thursday will be like. Well, they don't look like maybe you remember them from when you were a kid. That's a big one for me. Or they don't look like how Norman Rockwell painted. I want you to remember it's okay. You are not perfect. And neither is your neighbor who you're always measuring yourself up against. No one's perfect. And we shouldn't expect perfection from ourselves or from anyone else either. Put your hope, put your joy, your celebration, all of your gratitude where it truly belongs. And in the only thing that endures, the love of the mercy of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name.